Welcome into another episode of the Talking with House Money podcast. I'm your host, Michael Roth, alongside Isaiah Lyle for one last time this semester. Isaiah, how's it going?
I'm here, man. The end of the semester is in sight. I don't know if I'm going to make it, though.
We can see it. We can see finals week fastly approaching. We can also see all the projects that we have to do before finals week. Due dates are approaching, so that's another thing we got to do.
Oh, Jesus.
But we're not here to talk about projects or due dates. We're here to talk some gambling. And more importantly, we're here to talk about NBA playoff gambling. Yes, that's right. The NBA playoffs are upon us. They start Saturday afternoon. And we've got some odds on who will win the 2018-19 NBA championship. Golden State Warriors are the prohibitive favorites at minus 225. That's an implied probability of just a shade over 69%. Next up are the Milwaukee Bucks, who are at plus 650. The Toronto Raptors at plus 950. Houston at plus 1100. Boston at plus 1600. Philadelphia at plus 1600. Denver plus 1800. And then rounding it out, Oklahoma City plus 3500. Portland plus 4000. Utah plus 6000. Indiana plus 8000. San Antonio plus 8000. Orlando plus 10000. Brooklyn plus 12500. Detroit and LA Clippers plus 15000. Now, the Warriors are a very interesting case because I don't think there's great value in betting on the Warriors in a minus 200 or greater odds to win the NBA title. I think that that's kind of a steep price to pay for a team that, I don't know, I just haven't been fully convinced of them this season. I said preseason that I would have pick the Raptors to win the NBA title after they got the Kawhi Leonard trade. Feeling a little bit worse about that after the OG Anunoby news. He had to get some sort of surgery. It was
who's Golden State unfortunate. Or who's Golden State slated to take on round two?
Houston or Utah. We will get to that in a second. But
because I think that
OG Anunoby had an emergency appendectomy. And from what I've heard, this is very painful and will take weeks, if not into months, to heal. So I would basically say that OG won't be contributing until at least the Eastern Conference Finals if the Raptors do make it there. The Bucks at plus 650 I don't think are bad value. I think people typically overrate playoff experience when they're looking at who to bet on, and if the Bucks had a different coach last year, they definitely would have made it past the first round, and then people would be more accustomed to seeing them near the top of the standings and making NBA playoff pushes. So I think the Bucks at plus 650 are solid value. Houston at plus 1100 is interesting value, but I just don't love it. I think they have a difficult first round matchup, and they'd have to play the Warriors in round two. They're basically guaranteed to have to go through Golden State, which if you bet on Milwaukee and Toronto, there's a chance they don't even see Golden State. If Golden State does lose to somebody like Houston, Denver, Oklahoma City, Portland, Utah, somebody like that. So I kind of like that value where Houston, unless the Clippers can upset the Warriors, Houston is going to see Golden State in round two. And I just don't love those odds.
Clippers with a chip could be scary.
No.
I think they steal two games.
One at best. Next up, you got the two Atlantic Division teams that, besides Toronto, they're both at 1600 to win the title. I would much rather gamble on the Philadelphia 76ers to win the title than I would the Boston Celtics to win the title at the same odds. I just think their ceiling is higher. Boston just...
How's Boston in the playoffs? I don't even understand sometimes.
I mean, they've
had such problems this year.
And their net differential is better than it was last year when they were the two seed in the Eastern Conference. I think not only the East being better, but also people kind of overblowing Boston. Boston's issues has caused this, like, public downside on Boston. But I just think with Philadelphia, you have some high upside guys. You've got guys like Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Jimmy Butler, who can play at that level. With Boston, it's like Kyrie. Horford hasn't been at the level that he's usually at going into the playoffs. Tatum's still young. He was really good last season in the playoffs, but does he equal that with Kyrie Irving on the floor? He hasn't been the same player this regular season. And then finally, you go back to the West for the next four teams. Denver, I don't love their odds at plus 1,800. If you would want me to buy into Denver, I think I'd probably want to get them at plus 2,300 or greater. If you can get that, I don't see any issue in investing in Nuggets. The Thunder, I really don't see it. Portland, after the Nurkic injury, I think they're done making a deep run. Utah, I don't hate. They do have to go through Houston and Golden State just to get to the Western Conference Finals. So that's why they're at plus 6,000, because think about how unlikely it is for Utah to not only go through Houston and Golden State, but then they have to win two more series on top of that. The value isn't horrible, but
thing is, if they can make it through Houston and Golden State, who stands in their way until the final? Like, it would that be, Western Conference final
would be Denver, Oklahoma City, Portland, or San Antonio. So,
I mean, those aren't terrible, but if they can make it that far, I would take it. If they can make it through the first two rounds,
yeah,
I think they've got a real shot.
The problem is getting past the Rockets and the Warriors.
Anybody on that side of the bracket, you're done.
Yeah, that'll be I honestly think the three best playoff teams in the Western Conference are on one side. I think that I would rank them Warriors, Rockets, Jazz, Nuggets. And that would be like my top four playoff teams in the Western Conference right now, ignoring like seeds. And they're all, the top three are on the same side. In the East, it's much more balanced. There's definite tiers. Well, that's the conference, and it splits after the top four with the Victor Oladipo injury for Indiana.
That's kind of the way the whole season's broken down in the NBA, though. Like, the West has been such a jumbled mess, and everybody's been good. And it's the East that's everybody's fighting for position every night.
Yeah, I think if there was one team I would say has a little bit of value, it's probably the Bucks. I'm worried about the Brogdon injury, but if he comes back, I don't see it being that unlikely that the Bucks are playing in the NBA Finals. And if you believe that's going to happen, I think they've got an outside chance at upsetting the Warriors once that round gets there. So, or they might just not even see the Warriors, and then you'd be looking at terrific value on the Bucks to win it all. So that would probably be my one pick, but I don't feel good about anything here. Some things that I might feel better about: first round odds. Opening up 1-8 in the Eastern Conference, Milwaukee is minus 10,000. The Pistons are plus 2,000. Zero value betting on Milwaukee. Don't see any value on Detroit either. Raptors minus 1,400 versus the Magic plus 800. With the Anunoby injury, these lines might have moved a little bit, but I don't think it's enough to really seriously consider either side. The juice in these heavy favorites is just way too much. Vegas always takes a lot of money on highly probable outcomes happening, because they don't want to be liable for the major upset. Next up, 76ers versus the Nets. I hated the Nets odds of winning the series, but Joel Embiid might not play game one. And if you tell me that Joel Embiid doesn't play like the first three games, is it outside of the possibility that Brooklyn's up 2-1 at that point? No. So the Nets plus 550. Depending on how long you think Joel Embiid is hurt, I don't hate it, but I definitely don't like it. Because if Joel Embiid is healthy after game one, I think the series is pretty much a wrap. Next up, Boston versus Indiana. Boston minus 700, Indiana plus 500. I thought that if Victor Oladipo was healthy, that the Pacers would be undervalued. But since he's went down, Indiana's been very poor on the road. They're a nice story. I think it's been impressive that they didn't completely collapse after their main offensive creator went down. But I don't think plus 500 is juicy enough for me to go with that. Isaiah, do you have any firm takes on these values? A lot of heavy favorites, minus 700 or greater.
Yeah, there are quite a few of those. And I would have to say because of that, I don't have anything firm. Yeah, I don't.
It's tough to just invest in minus 700 or plus 500. Minus 700 or more favorites or plus 500 or more underdogs at this point.
Because there's just... Exactly.
So we move on to the West. The Warriors, minus 50,000 to advance in the first round. That means you would have to bet $50,000 to win 100 on the Warriors winning.
Yeah, what
round one?
Is there even a point in putting a money line on the on this series?
Well, yes.
No, there's not.
Yeah.
At that point, if you're gonna set it so astronomically high, there's no point in putting a money line on this series.
I mean, Curry goes down. Not completely outside of the possibility that the Clippers would advance. Now, that is contingent on Steph Curry not playing in this series.
You think Kevin Durant can't step up and carry a team?
He can.
Especially versus the Clippers?
I would be cautiously optimistic about the Clippers' chances. Like, if you just said tomorrow, hey, Steph Curry is deciding to take a vacation for the first round of the playoffs. He is that confident in the Warriors advancing past round one. I would be like, Steph, I probably wouldn't go on that vacation because I'm not that confident in you guys beating the Clippers without you. So that would just be my take. I think he's that crucial to Golden State's success.
All right.
Because Draymond hasn't been the same player.
Not at all.
Durant's been great. But I think the Clippers can match up with him somewhat, even after losing Tobias Harris. I don't think Gallinari is horribly outmatched in that situation. The Clippers have depth. It sucks that the Clippers got matched up with the Warriors.
Because that was the story, man. That was the whole story out of the Western Conference, in my opinion, with the fact that Clippers made it, clinched it.
Like, next up. I finally have a pick that I feel good about. I feel really good about Denver minus 200 over San Antonio. I think San Antonio is getting way overvalued based on what Greg Popovich has done in his illustrious career coaching basketball. One of the best coaches of all time, if not the best. However,
my favorite underdog. I'll be honest.
I would be stunned if the San Antonio Spurs are playing in the second round of the NBA playoffs this season. I think that Denver is getting disrespected for a lack of playoff experience. I think people are asking unnecessary questions about Nikola Jokic because he's never played in the playoffs. I think Denver is going to be fine in round one. I think San Antonio is almost the perfect matchup for them because San Antonio, they have DeMar DeRozan, but we've all seen DeMar DeRozan crumble in the playoffs. This seems like a dream case scenario for Denver. They're going to be able to match up fine at every position. Jokic should be the best player on the court. I'm very confident in Denver minus 200. Next up, did you have anything else on that series you wanted to add? No,
I mean, they're my, of the entire playoffs, they're my favorite underdog, but we'll see how it goes.
The Spurs?
Yeah.
All right. I'm not in on that, but we can agree to disagree. Next up, Blazers plus 130 versus the Thunder minus 150. I love Portland, but they need Zach Collins to be good because I know Enes Kanter won't. So Zach Collins will determine who wins this series. I'm pretty sure of it. Maybe I'll say Zach Collins and Russell Westbrook, one player on each side, because the Blazers have just been so impressive. What Damian Lillard is able to do year after year to make this team overachieve in the regular season is nothing short of spectacular. And Nurkic was awesome before he went down. But without him, this Blazers team is really limited. They have no wing scorers. They lost their really only valuable big because Collins, I don't think, is there yet. So you're really relying on Dame and CJ to do a lot of heavy lifting. Where against a Thunder team that struggles to score a lot, it's not out of the realm of possibility that I see the Blazers advancing. because Oklahoma City will go through stretches where they just don't score. And like PG and Russ force bad shots. And I could see a scenario where it's game five, it's 2-2. Oklahoma City's up five with 3 minutes to go, and they score 2 points in the final 3 minutes because Russ and PG cannot create anything offensively because the other three guys on the court are complete non-factors outside of 10 feet from the rim. So,
extremely true. That team is so – it's so two-player based, and at some point almost one-player based that it will be – no matter if they lose it in the first round, wherever they lose – it's going to be their downfall.
Yeah. I would say that Steven Adams will dominate Enes Kanter, which is why Zach Collins is so crucial. Because
Enes Kanter... Okay, Steven Adams might dominate Zach Collins.
No, but I have more faith in Zach Collins doing anything defensively than I do with Enes Kanter ever doing anything defensively.
He can defend himself from Turkey. That's about it.
Yeah, Adams against... whoever the Blazers put at big men might be like a viable third offensive option, even though Adams is mostly just a rim runner and finisher around the hoop. But I think he could maybe have an increased scoring role if the Blazers decide to play Enes Kanter, which they probably shouldn't very often. Final series, the Rockets against the Jazz. I already mentioned, I think these are the second and third best teams in the Western Conference right now. Everybody wants to talk about how Houston got really hot, and in their last like 25, 30 games, they have like a plus 10 net rating or something. Great. You want to know what Utah's net rating is in that span? Plus 9.3. So these are two of the hottest teams in the league. I love both of these teams. They battled last year. Houston won because Houston was so good last season. I think that Vegas is disrespecting the Utah Jazz, giving them at plus 300. I think this is great value on Utah. I have nothing wrong with Houston. I have many takes that I have made throughout this year saying how I believe in James Harden in the playoffs this season. However,
if it's hard to argue that anybody wouldn't.
But there are people who do. Because he has like two bad games
I mean, I agree that playoff Harden has not always been what regular season Harden has been since he's gotten to Houston. But with a year like this, it's hard to say that he's going to fall off in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Isaiah, you can talk a little bit more while I look for some playoff stats.
I mean, it's a hit. In my opinion, it's one of the most historic runs that James Harden has had in this decade by far.
Yes, yeah, so going back to the Harden point, Harden, the last 6 times, 6 seasons Harden has made the playoffs, all in Houston, he's averaged over 25 points a game. Which is, that's impressive. What Harden also does is he still passes. Last year was actually, that's the one thing you could criticize him, only 6.8 assists per game in the playoffs. But if you look at his like efficiency numbers, they go down a little bit from the regular season, but that's because everybody has their efficiency numbers go down in the regular season. His win share is per 48, career average 0.167. That's pretty good. His offensive BPM the past 4 seasons, or wait, 1-2, yeah, past 4 seasons has all been above 5. That's elite. His BPM the last 2 years in the playoffs has been 7.9 and 7.8. Like, the idea that James Harden disappears in the playoffs is kind of a fallacy, because maybe he was bad in game 6 or game 7 against San Antonio that one year, and maybe he struggled shooting from 3 against the Golden State Warriors, but that doesn't mean in general.
Okay, that whole team struggled to shoot from 3.
Exactly. 26 in a row. so as much as I...
Now, that might be one of the most phenomenal collapses in this decade.
That is never phenomenal when you're talking to a Cleveland sports fan, all right? I think Houston would have still beat the Cavs up real good, but it will always be something that I will think about. I'll be like, you know, if the Cavs face Houston, I think the mentality is just different.
Oh, yeah.
Because LeBron going into Houston game one, we saw what he did against Golden State in game one. There is no doubt in my mind that LeBron doesn't dominate against the Houston Rockets. Now, James Harden and Chris Paul and the Rockets' three-point shooting would dominate a terrible Cavs defense. I'm sure of it. But I think that the style that the Rockets played last year with their heavy ISO ball, it wouldn't be as catastrophic to how poor the Cavs played defense. So I think it kind of would have been a series. And I wish I got that. Because last year's NBA Finals, after game one, there were moments in game three where you wanted to believe, but in the end, it was really just Cavs fans getting frustrated because how good Golden State was. So I just wish that it would have been Houston, knowing what I know now. Because I don't think the Cavs get swept. And anything is better than a sweep when you make it to the finals. Spoken by somebody whose favorite team has been swept twice and almost swept a third time in the NBA Finals in his lifetime. That was a big side note to say my two picks for the NBA first round playoff series are Denver minus 200 and Utah plus 300. Is there anything you want to go till we look at game one odds?
No.
All right. So these odds all according to Odd Shark, starting off Brooklyn versus Philly, Philly minus 7, total 232. Brooklyn getting a lot of love because of the Joel Embiid news. I'm going to wait and see. I would not play this game. Orlando against Toronto. Total 213 points. Under. The Raptors seem to always play low-scoring games, and they like kind of like to lose in game one of first-round series. I like an under. I think this is probably like a 104-97 type game, so an under 213. Next up, Clippers versus Golden State, wrapping up the Saturday slate at 8 p.m. I like the over 232.
What are you talking about?
What?
San Antonio and Denver play at 10:30,
ooh,
dude.
10:30. You are right about that. Correct me if I'm wrong. I would like the over of, now I know what I'm doing at 1 a.m. Saturday night. Well, technically Sunday morning. Watching Denver beat the Spurs. So I will take an over 232 because 57% of the money is on the under. And when a lot of money is on the under in a Golden State Warriors game, I always go the other way. So over 232. Then, like Isaiah proudly mentioned, there is a game at 10:30 p.m. on Saturday. The 8 p.m. game is not the last game. Denver minus 5.5. Lock it in. Jokic is going to come out firing. This Denver crowd is going to be crazy for their first time. They've been at home for game one in a playoff series, and I don't know how long, but I know they'll
probably be since Carmelo, man. Easily since Carmelo.
So Denver Nuggets seasons. Isaiah, if you could like kind of stutter for just...
I mean, just to elaborate on what he's saying, that crowd is going to be absolutely electric. They've got a team this year that that many people in Denver believe in, and they have all the right reasons to. I'm excited to watch Denver basketball, and I'm not even a Denver Nuggets fan. So
it looks like 2013 was the last time they were at home for the first round. They were third in the Western Conference.
And I don't even remember 2013, I guess.
They lost to the Warriors in six games. The last time they won a first-round series was in 2009 when they beat the Hornets. Then they beat the Mavericks and eventually lost to the Lakers in the conference finals. So that is your Denver Nuggets recent playoff history. We go to Sunday. Four more games starting off 1 p.m. Indiana against Boston. I got nothing on this. Indiana, 7-point underdogs, 209.5 the total. OKC against Portland. Portland minus 3.5, total 225. I usually like to fade popular underdogs, which Oklahoma City would be, but not quite confident enough to buy in on Portland just yet. Detroit against Milwaukee. Milwaukee -12.5. I think the Bucks want to make a statement, but I don't know if they will. So that's going to be another wait and see. And then Utah +6.5 against Houston. Don't love Utah in game one. They're getting a lot of love in that game, but not the series, which doesn't make much sense to me. So that'll be a stay away. Isaiah, any last words before we wrap up the podcast for this semester?
No. I mean, I'll be glued to the TV for the weekend and for the next few weekends to come. It's about the only time I heavily watch basketball. So,
all right. The most random question I can think about asking you right now.
Oh, yeah.
Who will be the fifth pick in the NFL draft?
The fifth pick in the NFL draft. Wait, who is that?
I know, but I'm not telling you.
Oh, fifth pick in the NFL draft is... It's not the Giants. It's whoever's right before the Giants.
Great observation.
And that I can't remember. And I'm going to say it's a defensive lineman. I think Ed Oliver's got a chance top five.
Okay. That is who you think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be selecting.
Absolutely. The Tampa Bay maybe.
All right, you heard it here first. Isaiah thinks that the Bucs are going with Ed Oliver, fifth overall.
Yep.
That'll wrap it up for this episode of the podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed. Hope you guys make some money betting on the NBA playoffs, because it's a highly volatile event, so be careful out there. Peace.
See ya.